ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभाम् व्यास शंकर मध्यमारि धीमहि दुर्गे प्रचोदयात। I'm clarifying certain doubts today, so we can continue our Brihad class properly from next week. So we exhaust our Prarabdha Karma in this. Let me first make it very clear. What do we mean by saying samsaraha? Samsaraha. See, samsaraha literally means a masculine gender noun. Sam is a prefix. Saraha is a word, okay? Sarati means that. Sarati means moves. Sarati means moves. Crawls. Moves actually. And samsarati. Sam is a prefix. Samsarati means keeps moving in perfect order. Sam. Samyak sarati iti samsaraha. Which means when it keeps moving, there's no problem there. It moves properly. So samsara means proper movement. So proper, perfect movement. What is it? What is it which is moving properly? Isn't it? It's a life. There's the life which keeps flowing, moving perfectly, properly. And how does it move? Does it have any beginning point? No. There's no beginning point. There's no end point also. There's no beginning point. There's no end point also. Listen, my dad's the one. Which means it's a beginningless, endless. Life is a beginningless, endless one. When you say beginningless, endless one, it cannot be a straight line. It must be a cycle. So life is a beginningless, endless cycle. And it keeps moving, rotating, isn't it? It keeps moving. But in this beginningless, endless cycle of life, there are many births and many deaths. But every individual is going through this beginningless, endless cycle of life, and which involves many births and deaths. But you can't count how many births and deaths are there. You can't count. No way. If you're a straight line, you can end. You can count. This is the beginning point of life. From here, this point, from this is the end point, until this end point, how many times there are births, how many times there are births, you can count. But it's a cycle. You can't count which is the first birth. You can't say which is the last birth. Therefore, how many births and deaths are there in between? You can't count. But there are many, many, many births and deaths. So, samsaraha means a beginningless, endless cycle of life of many births and deaths. Which means life of transmigration. So samsara is a transmigratory life, which means we can never have only one physical body. When can we say there is life? Only when there is manifestation of knowledge, then there is life. When you say the reality, of course, is always there. We have heard about this word reality. Vastu, the truth, which is beginningless, endless, changeless, all-pervasive, unmoving, immobile. You heard all these words? The truth, there is one truth, one substance, subtlest, abstract, and it is all-pervasive. There is no time it is not, there is no place it is not, there is no object which is not pervaded by this. And this beginningless, endless, changeless, unchangeable, unmoving, immovable, all-pervasive, indestructible, only secondless, non-dual reality is implied by the terms Atma or Brahma in terms of its nature, given nature. And this truth is always there. In this reality, in what form does it obtain? We understand through the study of the Shastram, by using all the prakriyas inbuilt in the Shastram, we have, through our analysis, we have clearly arrived at many times, reality of the whole universe has to be arrived at only as the Swarupam, very nature of one's own self, as the nature of the knower of the world. Because the whole world is the known. The whole world is the known. The whole world is the object of knowledge. When you say the whole world, except Atma, everything else is object of knowledge only here. So the object of knowledge is known by the term Anatma. Object of knowledge is Anatma. Okay? Subject of knowledge is Atma. So Atma, Anatma, subject and object. But you ask me, is Atma the subject? No. Atma is not the subject. Atma is neither the object. Then what is Atma then? Atma, the reality, is the truth of subject and the object, without which there cannot be subject, without which there cannot be object also. So subject of knowledge is not possible. Object of knowledge also cannot be there without this Atma. Atma is the very truth, very source, very swarupam, very existence of subject and object. But this reality, which is the only truth of subject and object, has to be arrived at, is available for recognition only as the truth of the subject, the knower. And that knower, we have to say, understand here, and we can see how every individual refers to one's own self to the expression I. So we have to say the I am the knower, because the whole world is evident to me. Therefore we arrive at the reality as the truth of I, the knower. By arriving at the reality as the truth of the knower, by further analysis, we also ascertain the fact that there is no truth other than this Atma. Atma is only truth of the known also. From the standpoint of this truth, there is neither subject nor object. There is neither knower nor known. There is only the truth. So this truth alone is Satyam, we say. Therefore, subject is the status. Really speaking, there is no knower subject of knowledge. Knower is only a status attributed to the Atma from the standpoint of the known. And the known has no independent existence. Therefore, we say known is also mithya. The knower status attribute is also mithya. The truth of knower and the known alone is Satyam, which is Atma. And yet this Atma is always there. Of course, the Atma is always there. It cannot go anywhere. It doesn't come, it doesn't go. Then what is that we talk about this life, then life of transmigration? The same Atma is the source of samsara. Atma is the very existence of samsara. Without Atma, how can there be life? And this Atma, when you arrive at this Atma, the reality, we arrive at the reality only in terms of its nature of knowing. Very important. The abstract, formless reality, when Shastram tells us that it is available for recognition only as the Swarupam of the knower, the I, and we arrive at it in terms of its nature of knowing. Therefore, it is implied by the term jnanam. Jnanam. So, what is reality now? Reality is arrived at in terms of its nature of knowing. Abstract. If you ask somebody, would you please describe knowledge? Describe consciousness. Can you describe it? You cannot describe. You cannot explain. You cannot perceive. You cannot conceive. You cannot objectify. You cannot talk about it. All that you can do is you can understand the mean substance of the substantive consciousness has to be understood or arrived at in terms of its nature of being conscious or in terms of nature of pure knowledge. Therefore, reality is arrived at in terms of its nature of knowing, and therefore, even the word jnanam, whatever word is used to imply the reality, to indicate, to mean the reality, every word actually reveals reality only in terms of its given nature. No word can directly indicate the reality, like this is the phone. No word can directly reveal the reality. Whether you use the term Atma, whether you use the term Brahma, whether you use the term Jnanam, or Satyam, or Satchit, Chitta, Chaitanyam, any word you use, every word reveals the reality, implies the reality in terms of its given nature only. Okay, the word Brahma implies reality in terms of its nature of limitlessness. The word Atma implies reality in terms of its nature of all pervasiveness. The word Jnanam implies reality in terms of its nature of knowledge, knowing. The word, Chaitanyam reveals reality in terms of its nature of being conscious. Therefore, reality is of the nature of consciousness. Or pure knowledge. So it is implied by this word jnanam. Why reality is implied by the term jnanam? And then you cannot arrive at reality in any other way. You have to stumble upon the reality only as the surupam of, so in terms of its nature of knowing, first. Then you have to, by further analysis, you understand. It is this reality which is arrived at in terms of its nature of knowing is of the nature of existence also. And how this reality which arrived at in terms of its nature of knowing is free from all limitations. Therefore, it is of the nature of limitlessness. We arrive at the nature of reality by further analysis. But how do you arrive at it first? How does Shastram help us arrive at the reality first? When we arrive at the reality first, we arrive at it only in terms of its nature of knowing. This you be convinced right now. Don't go back with any doubt. This you've been listening for quite some time. There's no other way. Therefore, it is implied by the term jnanam. Now we say, it is this reality which is said to be the absolute reality because it is of the nature of self-existence. There is nothing which is beyond this reality. We call it, this is the reality, nothing beyond this reality, which has no beginning, which has no cause, which has no dependence. This is absolute reality, ultimate truth. And it is this reality which is the source of life, source of samsara. Without which there cannot be life, without which there cannot be even samsara implies the life, isn't it? And so for the life to be there, I said, there must be manifestation of knowledge. Manifestation of consciousness. If the consciousness is there as pure consciousness, please remember, if the consciousness is there as pure consciousness, as pure knowledge, there is no life. But without the pure consciousness, definitely there cannot be life. But pure consciousness itself does not make life. There must be, when there's manifestation of consciousness, there is life. Because without the source of manifestation, manifestation is not possible. Is it clear? So, but there will be manifestation for the life to be there. And that manifestation of the reality and manifestation of knowledge is called what? Jnanam. So the source of manifestation is pure knowledge, Shuddham Chaitanyam, pure consciousness. And the manifestation of knowledge is Jnanam. Because we use the word Jnanam for two things. One is what? For the manifestation is also called Jnanam. The source of manifestation also is known by the term Jnanam. So whenever there is no manifestation, when there is pure knowledge, Jnanam, then what do we say? Then when the manifestation is not there, we say this power of reality remains unmanifest. The power of reality is unmanifest means it is ignorance. The power of reality manifest is Jnanam. Is it clear now? So reality is Jnanam, Shuddham Jnanam, Shuddham Chaitanyam, implied by the terms Atma or Brahma, etc. Now the power of reality unmanifest is called Ajnanam, Avidya. The power of reality manifest is called Jnanam. So Jnanam, what is Jnanam? The power of reality manifest is Jnanam. The power of reality unmanifest is Ajnanam. So Jnanam and Ajnanam are two different names attributed to the power of reality. Is clear now? Manifest is Jnanam, unmanifest is Ajnanam. But for this power, whether it is manifest or unmanifest, whether it is Jnanam or Ajnanam, there must always be what? The source of manifestation, which doesn't come and go, and which is pure knowledge. Is it clear now? This much. I'm taking you step by step. I can talk to you like this because of so much of preparation. Otherwise, you can't talk like this. And this knowledge, the reality is manifest. Wherever we see this power of reality manifest, we call manifestation of knowledge or consciousness is there. There we find life. And wherever you find life, we call that given object with life as a living being, an animate being. Wherever this power of reality is not manifest, power is unmanifest, there the source of manifestation as pure knowledge is very much there, but we call it non-living thing. And the non-living is said to be of the nature of inertness. The living being also is what? Said to be of nature conscious. So conscious being a living being, chetanam, achetanam. So chetanam is a living, achetanam is a non-living. Animate, inanimate beings. So wherever there is life means on the part of a living being, this manifestation of knowledge, there is difference, the manifestation of knowledge, even though knowledge is the same, wherever there is manifestation, wherever there is life, that manifest knowledge is one and the same knowledge. There is no difference in the manifest knowledge. But the level of manifestation, there's a difference in level of manifestation. Do you understand what I'm saying? The knowledge is the same. Manifest knowledge is the same. Whether it's a plant life, it's a plant, is a living being. An insect is a living being. A worm is a living being. A huge animals like elephant, etc. are living beings. A human being is also a living being. So in all these living beings, in all these lives, wherever you find life, whether mobile or immobile, there's manifestation of knowledge, manifestation of power of reality, which is called jnanam. There is knowledge. If you see life, there is knowledge. Wherever you see life, you see knowledge. You don't see knowledge through physical eyes, but you appreciate knowledge being manifest. We do appreciate knowledge being manifest. So that knowledge which is manifest in all the living beings is one and the same knowledge. There's no difference in manifest knowledge, but there's difference in level of manifestation. There's difference in level of manifestation. And because of this manifestation of knowledge, this manifest knowledge becomes the basis for the order. Because of the order, there are functions possible. In every function, there is an order involved. So there cannot be something called function without the order backing the function. And there cannot be order without the knowledge backing the order. And what is that knowledge which backs up the order, you know, involved in all the functions? If we say that knowledge is, we say, is manifestation of knowledge. And that is why no living being goes to any other living being to have a lesson how to live its life. Every living creature lives its own ordained life. A tree lives its own tree life. An insect lives its own insect's life. A bird lives its own bird's life. Every living creature lives its own life. And there's enough knowledge, adequate knowledge. Every living creature is blessed with adequate knowledge to live its life. It doesn't depend upon any other creature in the world to live its life. Of course, it survives to the best of its capacity. And it also dies. It survives. It enjoys its own life. It survives. It dies. But the level of manifestation differs from being to being. In keeping with the number of functions, in keeping with the, you know, the structure of the physical form, etc. So if we, that's why our own human, even human physical body, the life of a human being presupposes all these functions happening in properly. So all these functions tell us that there's an order involved in each function. That's why we have so many departments in medical college. so many, you know, disciplines. After general medicine, a cardiologist or a pulmonologist or a nephrologist, whatever it is, you know, a neurologist or a oncologist, whoever it is, they have their own different disciplines. All this is, this the knowledge of different disciplines itself is possible because of the order involved in these functions of each organ. So, everywhere there is knowledge. If you take a cell, it is knowledge, manifestation of knowledge. Your DNA is manifestation of knowledge. Your heart is manifestation of knowledge. Lung is jnanam. Kidney is jnanam. Every organ is jnanam. Because everywhere there is knowledge manifest adequately. For it to, for a given organ to function by itself involuntarily. Because without any, without involving any will, isn't it? Because of the jnanam, there is jnanam. You can't, if you go and see the heart, you can only see the physical pop, some lump of flesh, but you can't see where jnanam through physical eyes. But you understand how the heart functions, what it does, and there you see the order and you understand the knowledge being manifest. You could understand the knowledge being manifest in on the part of every organ, kidney or lungs or your heart, etc. But you can't see through physical eyes the knowledge, but you can understand the knowledge being manifest. But everywhere there's manifestation of knowledge. But who is the one who can appreciate that knowledge being manifest? Who appreciates that? Who can appreciate that there is knowledge manifest? No animal can appreciate the knowledge being manifest. Even though animal is, the life of an animal implies what? There's manifestation of knowledge. Animal is a living being. It has five senses. It eats, it grows, it reproduces, it has instincts. So also the plants have knowledge. But how much knowledge is there on the part of other living creatures? How much knowledge is there on the part of even human physical body? There's limited, okay? There is knowledge. There is manifest. That knowledge which we cannot see through physical eyes, which you understand knowledge being manifest, that knowledge is what? Manifestation of knowledge. But Shastan says, who is that one who appreciates the knowledge being manifest? Who can appreciate knowledge being manifest? Only a human being who is endowed with an amazing instrument called mind is capable of appreciating the knowledge being manifest. No other living being, even though every living being is, now stands for the manifestation of knowledge. Everything is manifestation of knowledge. But the one who is the one who can appreciate knowledge being manifest, knowledge being manifest as an animal life, knowledge being manifest as a plant life, knowledge being manifest as insect life or a bird's life or a human being's life, who is the one who can appreciate this knowledge being manifest? It is the human being who is endowed with the unique internal instrument called mind. Which means, it is this internal instrument, antahkaranam, called mind, which itself is a subtlest substance, subtlest instrument, inexplicably subtlest instrument, and where there is manifestation of knowledge in its highest form. It is the mind. There is knowledge manifest in heart. There is knowledge manifest in lungs. There is knowledge manifest in every organ which is functional. Isn't it? But where the knowledge, knowledge is manifest in its highest form, it is this mind. And what is that knowledge? What is that highest form of manifestation of knowledge on the part of the human mind? If we say, it is the knowledge of the existence of the self. So there must be knowledge of the existence of the self. Only then, knowledge of the existence of manifestation is possible. Isn't it? To appreciate. So, that is what we say, this knowledge of existence of the self. In what form does this knowledge manifest? Of course, in the kidney this knowledge manifests, lungs this knowledge manifests, we don't see it through physical eyes. We only understand the knowledge being manifest in terms, you know, it's the nature of its functioning, because it's functional. It is functioning. It serves a purpose. And who teaches, who guides, who instructs, it functions by itself, following a given order. Therefore, we understand knowledge being manifest there. But here, even though knowledge is manifest, there is no knowledge of the existence of the self on the part of lungs or kidney or anything. This knowledge of existence of the self is manifest only in human mind. In fact, we understand the mind itself in terms of this manifestation of this knowledge only. Very subtle otherwise. So this knowledge of the existence of the self, which is manifest, obtains in the form of a thought. You ask, what form does this knowledge of the existence of the self obtain? If you ask, in the form of a thought. And it is thought alone, when it gets expressed as a word, what expression we get? I am. The way we always say, I, this first person singular pronoun, which is an expression of the manifestation of knowledge of the self obtaining in the form of a thought. When you add am as I am is an expression of manifestation of knowledge of the existence of the self obtaining in the form of a thought in terms of I am, which is used by everyone to refer to one's own self. That I stands for chit, the consciousness. Am stands for existence, the sat. I stands for chit. Am stands for sat. I am, when you say, there is nothing, consciousness is the existence. I, consciousness, am existence. And only where there is knowledge of the existence of the self, the manifestation of knowledge of the existence of the self, there alone appreciation of knowledge of, you know, manifestation of knowledge is possible. appreciation of manifestation of Arji is possible. Isn't it? That's why human being is the one who can say there is knowledge manifest. No other animal can do that. If animals also can do that, they all would have started their own labs. They all would have to become research institutes. They would be running. Only human being can do this. Therefore, it is this human being who is capable of understanding the source of manifestation. So where there is manifestation of knowledge of the existence of the self obtaining in the form of thought in terms of I am, there alone, discovery of the source of manifestation also is possible. Therefore, the human being can understand I am. So this I am is what expression of manifestation of knowledge obtaining in the form of thought is this. So it is the thought means it comes and goes. There's a time this thought is not there. There's a time this thought is there. If this manifestation of knowledge obtaining in the form of thought, it is a waking state. If there's no manifestation of knowledge obtaining in the form of thought, then there is a deep sleep state. There's ignorance and knowledge, which means this thought goes and comes and goes, which means where does it go back? Where does it go and resolve? Where does it remain? And where does it come back from? It goes and comes, goes and comes. What goes and comes? This knowledge of the existence of self obtaining in the form of thought in terms of I am, used by all the individuals to refer to one's own self, is not there 24 hours a day. There is a time this thought resolves. There is a time this thought exists. When this thought is there, the thought, the manifestation of knowledge of the existence of the self obtaining in the form of thought in terms of I am is there, then a human being is a self-conscious being. Whenever this thought resolves, human being also breathes, he's alive, but he's as good as animal in sleep. How keeping your eyes closed you are in sleep, so keeping the eyes open, animals are in the waking also. Okay? That's why for animals, there's no such a thing called waking state. When eyes open, waking state. Eyes closed, it's a deep sleep state. For us, keeping your eyes closed and open doesn't count, isn't it? This knowledge has to resolve. Then deep sleep state. Is it clear? So human being is capable of discovering the source of this manifestation. When it discovers the source of manifestation, his knowledge of existence of self in terms of I am can become complete knowledge as what? I am the truth. I, the self, am the truth. Brahma. Aham Brahma Asmi. Okay. And this is what is said to be the absolute wisdom. Knowledge of the absolute reality is absolute wisdom, spiritual wisdom, in the wake of which a human being can have effortlessly a different perspective, and which is called moksha. Because why do you call it moksha? Because in having this in having discovered this source of this manifestation, when a human being has this jnanam, again the form of vritti alone, the knowledge takes place. How I am is a vritti jnanam. I am Brahma is also what? Another vritti has to rise. Aham Brahma Asmi is also vritti jnanam only. Only thing is that implies what? You have discovered the source of manifestation. So the whole Shastram looks at it as what? All the whole the human misery is purely because of, not because of the world, not because of external situations, not because of the objects they are attached to. The human misery itself is purely because of their error in the perception of the self. And so-called misery will resolve for good when the perspective change takes place. And for the perspective change to take place, the human mind has to really make efforts to discover the source of this manifestation, which makes a knowledge a complete knowledge, purnam jnanam. Is it clear? Now we have, this is moksha. But until this jnanam takes place, if this knowledge is naturally, this knowledge is not there naturally. See, this highest form of manifestation of knowledge of the existence of one's own self in terms of I am, obtaining in the form of thought, isn't, is there on the part of every human being. This is naturally, human being is blessed with this half knowledge, because of which he can be called a self-conscious being, because of which it is possible for a human being to have identity. Identity. If you ask, who are you? You can immediately say, I'm a daughter of so-and-so, son of so-and-so, I come from this place, all these things. All about you have your own relative biography is possible because of this self-identity, isn't it? The self-identity is possible because of self-consciousness. It's a blessing. At the same time, the blessing in disguise that you are capable of discovering the source of manifestation. But what is the problem? Animals don't have this blessing. But the problem is, this half-knowledge is there. I am. And there's no distance between the physical body. The mind is associated with the physical body. The subtlest substance called mind, the internal organ called mind, instrument called mind, no, is not at all distant physically from the body or from the rest of subtle aspects which indwell the physical body. There's no distance. Because of the closest inseparable proximity, naturally that aham vrittihi, aham asmi vrittihi, the thought, the knowledge of existence, the manifestation of knowledge of the existence of self, obtaining in the form of thought in terms of I am, is what now is actually is mixed with what? The rest of the aspects. Therefore, I am is natural knowledge. The body is added to I am. And all the physical problems are superimposed upon what? I am. Therefore, whatever you add to I am becomes what? Ahankara. It's expression of the wrong notion, you have about yourself. Expression of the erroneous perception of yourself. And not only the physical body, even the other subtle aspects which indwell the physical body, which serve as instruments of action and knowledge, even, they are also what now identified with. Therefore, I am the sense organs, I am blind, etc. I am hungry, I am happy, etc. So this I, one aham vrittihi, identified with the sense organs, identified with the mind, identified with other rest of the emotions. One thought, everything, is concerned with everything. Therefore, there is the, all the problems become superimposed. Naturally, there is a strong notion that I am born, I am going to die, etc. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, I am suffering, I go through pain, pleasure, etc. And this mind, I tell you, this internal instrument called mind, antahkaranam, which cannot be translated at all into any other language, even though we translate it as internal instrument, internal organ, etc. Better we keep the word antahkaranam as antahkaranam. This antahkaranam, amazing, where there is manifestation of knowledge of the self in terms of I am, and where this knowledge also, you know, remains resolved. And this knowledge, and where other emotions, etc., which is number of thought, which resolve, this mind is absolutely indestructible, subtlest substance, indestructible. It cannot be destroyed at all. And mind also is involved in other functions. Not only it is, it knows this knowledge of existence of the self, because of this unique knowledge of the existence of the self, which is said to be the highest form of manifestation of knowledge, the knowledge of the existence of the world also is possible for a human being. I am, this is also what? Idam vrittihi. I am is what? Aham asmi iti vrittihi is a knowledge. Vritti jnanam, thought. Idam asti, aham asmi idam asti. Idam asti, this is, who knows? Only I know. I know I am, I know this is. Isn't it? Is possible? Then not only this is mine. Aham asmi is what? I am is knowledge. But anything, if I identify myself with the body, mind is complex, it's called ahankaraha, ahanta, aham bhavaha. And this is mine, what? Mamakaraha, sense of possession. So mamakara is also vritti, ahankara is also vritti, in the form of vritti. There's no ahankara, mamakara, other than ahankara is what? This I sense in the body, mind is complex. Thereby expression of that identity, ahankara. Then sense of possession, the possessiveness of things that say, thinking that they belong to me, it is mine, is mamakara, it's also vritti. So mind is. So as long as these thoughts are there, as long as the knowledge I am alone is there, if this the source of I am, what is this I am, the manifestation of knowledge obtaining in the form of thought, what is the source of it? If as long as it is not, source of this I am is not discovered, not understood what I am, discovering what I am is what? Discovering the source of the thought, knowledge obtaining in the form of a thought, in terms of I am. As long as source is not discovered, so long will there be wrong identity, so long will there be wrong notions, so long will there be wrong perception, so long will there be this mind survive, so long will this mind survive. Which means, that is, ignorance will continue to be there. And with this doership and enjoyership, naturally, when you perform the action, what happens? Of course, the action produces the result. it is all relative. Karma is relative, karma palam is also relative. So relatively is what is there. There is punyam and papam, there is a dharma, there is an order. If you go against dharma, you accumulate papam. If you don't transgress the dharma, there is punyam. The punyam and papam will be translated into experience of pain and pleasure, which also again two states of mind. This continues, you accumulate. Sometimes the karma palam takes its own time, therefore the lifespan comes to an end, but you have finished doing the karma, the results have not yet been exhausted, and those unexhausted, isn't it, results remain accumulated as sanchitam karma. And like this, when you say our births are countless, non-countable, because life is a beginningless, endless cycle. So how much sanchitam you have earned, we cannot say. But there is continuously sanchitam. We don't need to break our head to know. I really want to know which should have been the first karma, how much sanchitam I have in my account. I want to know. You can never know. It will be an eternal mystery. But you can be 100% clear. Be sure there is sanchitam. Is sanchitam absolutely? No. There is nothing which is absolutely other than Atma. What is absolutely, there is only Atma. Relatively, there is individual. Relatively, there is a karma. Relatively, there is ahamvritti. Relatively, there is ahankara. Relatively, there is a karma. Relatively, there is a doership. Relatively, there is enjoyership. Relatively, punya papa. Isn't it? Relatively, sanchitam also is there. And so within the realm of this relative world, which is empirical world, there is an order, isn't it? And these relative experiences, this relative world, see, relative world means all our experience, everything is relative. Other than Atma, whatever is happening, samsara is relative only. There is no absolute samsara, okay? Unfortunately, mistake relative as to be absolute. Why? Because we do not know what is absolute. So within this relative world, there is an order. As per the order, the portion of sanchitam which is ready for fructification is called prarabdha karma palam. And it is this prarabdha karma palam what now determines the again where this mind must assume another body and express itself again. Mind needs expression. Okay, without the physical body, mind will be non-functional. Mind cannot express itself. Mind needs a gross physical form, isn't it? It needs all the subtle instruments of action and knowledge, and pranas and the physical body for it to be expressed. As long as mind survives, don't worry, your body will be ready. Okay, that's why you don't need to ask for the body. Whatever punya papam you have, accordingly the body will be there. Who makes this body? We don't know. How the nature, you know, that is why there's a beautiful order, because of which exactly what body should come to me comes to me. Female body or a male body, a human body or frog's body. You must have a lot of punyam. That's why we all got nice human bodies. And whether in deformity also, all punyam. I got a human body, but with a lot of deformities. But a brain like Stephen Hawking passed away. We have to remember him today. Anyway, what I'm saying, Saul, you know what makes Stephen Hawking Stephen Hawking? It is the samskara, the mind, with amazing samskara, had a much strongest prarabdha to serve in such a crooked body. Isn't it? Amazing brain. What I want to say, prarabdha karma palam. That is why we have to understand our helplessness here. This is called understanding samsara. we have to understand our helplessness, choicelessness. It is not our body is not our choice. Our mother and father are not our choice. The family I am associated with is not my choice. The neighbor is not my choice. Given time, things work together. Parabdha. Isn't it? So, parabdha. So, again, of birth itself is parabdha determined. Means, after birth, the death is also parabdha, determined by parabdha. That's why whether you're healthy or sick, or how healthy, how sick you are, what all problems you, physical ailments you have, everything is parabdha. So, but death is determined by parabdha. The person lives, young or old. Because that parabdha is over. In fact, Shastra makes it very clear, even every day you can sleep only when your parabdha ends. And parabdha wakes you up 3 o'clock also sometimes. So when you go through parabdha, either you have pain. Whenever without pain, see, when you are self-conscious, for you to go through parabdha, what you should have? You must be self-conscious. In sleep, are you self-conscious? So you go through plush pain. Whenever there is no pain or anything, what you go through is called a pleasure. When there is no pain, when you are self-conscious, when you don't experience any pain, what you have is pleasure. There's nothing which keeps you occupied, busy. Okay, in sleep, when there's no prarabdha, in sleep means you have neither punyam nor papam. That prarabdha of that day is over until you deep, you have abala prarabdha, weak prarabdha. Then dream comes. In dream, you have either joy, pain, or pleasure. And not even no dream also. You have very deep sleep. You know, you are not all self-conscious. You don't know you are. Then you don't experience pain or pleasure. There is no parabdha. There is neither pain nor pleasure. That what you go through is called sukham. Sukham. Neither pain nor pleasure. Unfortunately, you are not self-conscious when there is sukham. Okay? In ignorance, you have sukham. It is called bliss. Suppose you know what you are. In total knowledge also, you are free from all the sanchita karma, etc. Then what you have is sukham. That's called happiness. There is sukham. Anyway, you go through parabdha. But while exhausting the parabdha, again you continue to be, there's only half knowledge. There's ajnanam. There's wrong identity. There's doership. There's enjoyership. Therefore, again, when performing karma with the doership, again, then the present karma also what? Accumulates punya papa. And while exhausting the parabdha karma, when you live your life, the present life, and you are doing karma again, you are accumulating new punya papams which are not exhausted in this life. The unexhausted results of the punya papams, the results of the actions you perform in this life, unexhausted results of the punya papams are the results of actions you perform in this life while exhausting the power of the karma. They get accumulated as agami karma. Is it clear? So agami will be there and agami will join sanchitam. So sanchitam, one portion of sanchitam is exhausted as prarabdha. the new agami accumulated in the present life will join the old sanchitam. Understand? Which means sanchitam never gets exhausted totally. A small portion of sanchitam is exhausted, again new portion of agami is accumulated, earned. So agami keeps on joining the sanchitam. While a little parabdha is exhausted, a new agami is accumulated. So how can sanchitam be exhausted for good? Sanchitam can never be exhausted for good. So this sanchitam, agami, prarabdha, this everything is what? Relative. Sanchitam is relative, agami is relative, parabdha is relative, samsara is relative, birth is relative, death is relative. Nothing is absolute here. Suffering is relative. Enjoyment is relative. Pairs of opposites are all relative. But we mistake what is relative to be the absolute. That is what is bondage. Why do we take it as absolute? Because we are not objective towards them. Because we internalize them as my own. I suffer, etc. So this is called what? Continuously going through. See, there is a beginningless sanchita, and prarabdha is exhausted, again accumulation of agami. So it continues. Again a new set of prarabdha will be ready, again there will be, mind will express itself in a new physical form. The mind, same old mind, comes back with the new dress of body. Same mind, new dress. Then the same person with a new shirt. Okay, same man has come here with a new shirt, new pant. So also same mind comes back with a new body. But this mind is something called chittam, isn't it? That only retains what should be retained. So when this new mind comes back with the new physical form, it completes the past experiences are forgotten. Rare cases, one in a million may have some certain memories, things. It will cause a lot of problems. Imagine if you remember what were you in your previous life, whether you were man or woman. If you were married, remember your husband or wife and previous janmas, you know, children. They'll come and claim your property now. And the person changed. It's a lot of confusions. Thank God nothing is remembered, isn't it? That's also again the mind. But samskara will be there. What all you are doing, the interest, the taste, where you paid more attention, the sukshma vrittis, samskaras. Even the interest in Vedanta and all, somewhere these classes become nimittam for your own interest, which you already had to be triggered to come out. Nobody has responded, we know that. The class is happening here, already instrumental for you to have your interest triggered, which is already in your subconscious. You picked up somewhere before. So not only the sums Vedanta classes, interest in anything. This continues. So the question comes now, when does Yeah, I'll stop in 5 minutes. I started late. When does samsara come to an end? A samsara comes to an end means we call it videha mukti. Again, mind cannot assume a body and be born again, express itself. If the mind should not assume a body, again, should not express itself, if there's no birth, means what? There can't be death also. Isn't it? It's called immortality. There should not be assumption of a body for you to avoid the death of the body, falling off, disintegration of a body. If the mind is there, you can't help. It will assume in keeping with the parabdha. Mind surveys means there is parabdha. Mind surveys means there is ajna, ignorance. Mind surveys means there is doership and jarship. Mind surveys means there is parabdha, it has to assume another body as we express. Again, there needs to be enjoyment of punya papa. So the mind should not be there for it, the new body not to be assumed. What can it do? Can it kill your mind? How can you kill yourself? I am itself is what? Manifestation of knowledge is very strength, isn't it? The mind, the knowledge, mind itself is what we can say. The antaka instrument of knowledge, we say, because of which the knowledge of existence of self is possible. Mind is the manifesting medium for this, because of which knowledge is manifest. How can you kill yourself? How can the mind be killed? Understand? That is why in India, we are never afraid of death. We always talk about the great, the Pururavas, King Pururavas always talked very highly, praised highly, because how he fought against Alexander and all that. Because mind doesn't die. It'll come back. Any soldier can kill, destroy your physical body. A death can destroy the physical body. The diseases can. Only physical body definitely will fall apart. The physical body will definitely fall apart. Whether you are sick or healthy, it cannot be prevented. Maybe 40 you can avoid, 60 you can avoid, 80 you can avoid, 110 you can't avoid. At some time, it will fall apart. It will disintegrate. Because the nature itself is what? Because it's many, all these different elements put together. It's not just only one thing. So, body will fall apart. But what can it do with the mind? We have to understand our helplessness. Even you can, you yourself can use your, abuse your will. You can even commit a suicide, means what? When you commit a suicide, what do? You only kill your body, which is a papam. It's a sin. Why? Because you are abusing your will. You are not created your body. You are given the body to exhaust your parabdha, ordained by the order, and you take something, you kill, means it's a papam. Enjoy and leave it and go. You have no right. Managing trustee can't own, okay? You have no right. Manage it and leave it and go. Let it go, be taken by itself. It's grabbed, it has to leave it. Given, enjoy it. But you cannot do anything to do with this body. But the body you have, you can abuse your will, you can do anything, but mind, even if you use your will, do you think you can kill your mind? We have to understand our helplessness. Okay? I can abuse my will, I can try to undo the body. I can make it dead. I can harm, commit a suicide, or I can kill other, homicide or suicide. I can abuse my will to hurt, to destroy it. It's not, again, even if you try to destroy it, it's not total destruction, relative destruction. You can make it dead, that's all. But you cannot do anything with your mind. That is why your suffering will continue to be there even if the body falls apart. If a person knows this secret, and he will not commit a suicide. Committing a suicide is for what? To avoid the pain. Let me die so I can escape from pain. Anger or something, is it pain, hurt, then they try to do this. But body falls. But part of the water you have to exhaust, you are only postponing. What you could have finished easily, you're postponing. Okay? You have to, again, you have to wait for an again next body, and still you will be, you have to come back to exhaust. There's no way of escaping the order. With added papam. Is it clear? Your mind cannot be destroyed. That is why mind has to come back. Mind will come back. How long? Endlessly. That's why samsaraha is called ocean. This life of transmigration, transmigrating from one mother's womb to another mother's womb, assuming a new physical, new bodies, is endless. That is why samsara is said to be what? Life of transmigration is beginningless, endless cycle of births and deaths, is likened to an ocean because a mind cannot be destroyed at all. Mind survives means ajnanam is there. Mind survives means doership is there. Mind survives means enjoyership is there. Mind survives means, you know, wrong perception, wrong notions are there. There are their punyam and papam are there. Everything is relative. Nothing is absolute. Everything is relative. Samsara is relative. So there'll be life will continue like this. Punya papa will be continuing. Exhaustion of punya papa, going through some pain and pleasure. Endless. How can I free myself from bondage of samsara? That is where Adishankar Bhagavatpada comes in front of you. You want solution for this? That is why it's called rogaha. Bhava rogaha. Samsara is called a disease. Why? There is discomfort. Of course, a lot of enjoyment in the world. We get trapped also. Enjoy when your life is there. But enjoy everything and make use of this enjoyment for your own growth. Learn while enjoying this life. You don't need to deprive yourself of enjoyment of any pleasure here. Enjoy all the pleasures that Bhagavan has blessed you with. While enjoying the pleasures, while living this life, by analyzing your experiences, also intelligently learn a lesson. What is that? You know, there is no sukham here. Nothing in the world will give me sukham. I can go enjoy time-bound pleasure, and immediately after pleasure, definitely there is a pain. I go through pain, it's not permanent, there is a pleasure. But there's no sukham. When there's neither pain nor pleasure, what is sukham? Okay, so in wrong identity, in self-consciousness, in partial knowledge, there cannot be sukham. There's only pain or pleasure. Pleasure, pain. Pain, pleasure, pleasure, pain. Sukham is when only in non-identity there is sukham. In right identity, there is sukham. In non-identity, sukham can be disturbed, temporary. In right identity, sukham is permanent because that is your non-arriving, non-departing nature. So, Shastram says, this is called understanding one's helplessness. Why you call it? Understand, I'm so helpless. I cannot do anything to do with my mind. I can fall asleep, I can do that, I can do something to do with the body. All surgeries to make myself look better, everything I can do with only physical body. To look better, to do this and to do that, and hospitals and spa and beauty parlors everywhere. I can do something or other with the body, but my mind, I cannot touch. What can I do with my mind? Bhagavan says, surrender yourself to me. What is surrendering yourself to Bhagavan? You know, just discover the truth of mind. Simple. Understand what this mind is all about. Where does this mind exist? You know, in science they do so much of research, but still they not able to come to it. What is this mind? Where does it exist? Where does it resolve? And to understand the whole mind, simple thing, what is that first and the foremost of the manifestations of knowledge? Foremost of the thoughts, what is that first and the foremost of the vrittis which rise in the mind? You can't understand mind, okay? What is that first and the foremost of the thoughts which rises and resolves? Without which no other thought is possible, no other emotion is possible, no other understanding is possible. It is knowledge of the existence of one's own self, obtaining of thought which comes and goes in terms of I am. In the presence of which there is a waking state, in the absence of which is a deep sleep state. Is it clear? And discover that. And you discover what I am, you have discovered the truth of all the thoughts, discover the truth of all the mind. And repeatedly dwelling upon the truth, I am this, I am this, I am this, I am this, I am this. Definitely wave is water, wave is water, wave is water, wave is water, wave is. Don't simply say wave is water, okay? You should know wave is, wave being water, nothing but water must be very clear. Similarly, I, the self, am consciousness, Brahma, aham Brahma asmi, aham Brahma asmi, aham Brahma asmi. I'm Atma Asmi. You know, that must become, not simply mechanically saying, which you must have understood through the study. You must repeatedly dwell upon it. And even to dwell upon repeatedly, you must have mental stability. If you're very unstable, unsteady mind, how can you dwell upon it? If you're not adequately pure enough, you can't even do that. So then, becomes assimilated. Which is assimilated, I tell you, in the total knowledge, aham Brahma asmi, all the thoughts will resolve, no thought can rise, there cannot be jealousy, in perspective change is there, all the thoughts will naturally resolve. You don't need to give up anything, they will all resolve by themselves. If they resolve, then mind will be there for some more time until the parabdha is over. Okay? Then the doership is not there, enjoyership is not there, punya papas are not there. Mind will resolve for good. After parabdha is over and the body falls apart, mind will resolve for good, then to assume a new body, mind will not be there. This is called Videha Mukti. One must have Jivan Mukti to have Videha Mukti later on. Understand? It is the Jnanam. I said. And what is there? In a clear, you can say, there's no world. Relative. Absolutely, there's no I. Of course, there's I. Of course, there's world. Relatively. It's not unreal. Because I'm experiencing it. Therefore, it's empirically, relatively, objectively real. But absolutely, nothing is real here. Absolutely, I am the absolute reality, the source of I and this. All that is here is actually, I am the very substratum of everything. Okay, we have a small break. We'll continue again.
Yeah. Two questions from me.
Yeah.
One is that you said the difference between human beings and the rest of the living beings is the mind. Is it all the functional aspects of the mind, or is it just the intellect?
No. Then mind as a whole, I can say.
Mind as a whole.
Yeah. See, the animals do have pain, only physical. And when they express physical things, certain degree of emotion. But not as, there's no memory and all sorts of things. There's no memory. Definitely no intellect. To be frank, you can't say the mind. See, I am suffering that is not there. That's why I can't see emotion. The suffering, see, there's some pain. You can see that some people come and tell you, oh, dogs cry, when they go, water comes and all that. See, because it says eyes, no. Eyes means there'll be tears.
If self-conscious is not there.
That's why there's suffering, it is not there. No animal has a problem. I am suffering because of you. I am have pain because of you. That sort of a thing no animal has. Because no knowledge of, there's no self-consciousness on the part of the animal. I'm suffering because of you. No. Because of other person. Or I am suffering, that knowledge itself is not there for animal. There is suffering. There's no I am suffering is not there. Otherwise they can forget of. When the pain goes, they forget. But when the pain goes, we don't forget. We will talk about it for ages. We'll remember, isn't it? We'll bring it back again. We keep our memory alive and then we'll bring it back and then we'll brood over the past all the time. Because of the self-consciousness. Animals don't do that because they don't have the self-consciousness.
The other question is samskaras. What my impression is that all the thoughts and the experiences and all these things what you have in your life, they, irrespective of what they are, they go as impressions in your subtle mind. Don't they? All of them. Or some of them go as impressions.
No, whatever you associate yourself with more.
Yeah.
What you do more. What you deeply involved in anything. Now such a thing we also
not everything.
Of course certain things will go, but what you become, you're deeply involved in anything, that becomes samskara really. Yeah. That's why you pick up interest again.
Yeah.
You see, to fulfill those desires only, even the birth is determined accordingly in a situation, in a background, where you can exhaust such parabdha. Suppose if you were not born in Sri Lanka, Siva Kudumba, and why, how can you go to temple every day like this? Kala, Sangalam, 2 days, twice a day, going to temple and then Tiruvambai, Padishita Kumarima. You would have been doing, suppose that samskara must have been there. Even if being born in Shiva family, people don't go, sometimes don't go, because they're not adequately, that refined to do that, involve that. Not bad. Lot of good things about every individual, isn't it? Every individual has one's own lots of good things about. Everyone. There's no human being is totally a rogue. No human being is totally bad, wrong. Everyone has one's own lot of good things. But also a certain unpleasantness. That is because of the wrong perceptions, because of the wrong understanding, misunderstanding, confusions. Because always I judge others' behavior, why they behave like this. I may be wrong, judgmental. My conclusions are based on my perception, how I perceive. Because they are in the very perception. So my conclusion is wrong. Thereby what happens, if I make a wrong conclusion about this person, then I react to the person. And I won't react. I react. And I cause a lot of pain. I hurt. I damage. So, it's all very natural things. That's why Shastra study will help us to be gradually become objective. Nobody intentionally does anything wrongly. It's all... See, because I don't think myself, I just think I'm right. And completely all my conclusions, I analyze thoroughly, I think I'm perfect, I'm 100% right. I saw this, I see this, I hear this, this is what the person does. So I'm judgmental. My judgment, so, and I conclude about people based on their behavior, my perception of their behavior. Now not knowing anything. Helplessly. Then once my conclusions are wrong about whatever the conclusion, I react to the conclusion, express my conclusion with my reaction towards the person. Not a pain. We are hurt, we also contribute for hurt. Okay, please have a tea and come back.